Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We left off last week. Well, we'll pick up at verse 20. My intention was to cut it in half since it was 40 verses. I thought we can get down to 20 verses, and then that's a good stopping off point, because in the preceding verses, he explains how tongues were not the main thing, although the Corinthians felt like tongues were the main thing. And, excuse me, but just think about when Paul's writing, he knows the purpose of tongues. He already knows that. He knows what God's intention is for the Corinthians. He knows that. And wherever he goes, the man who knows what God is doing is Paul. You might those little things like that, where when he's writing, he says to the Romans, he says, "I know that you're," I'm paraphrasing this, he says, "I know that you're able to admonish one another." He says, "But I'm speaking more boldly unto you in some sort because of the grace of God that's given me." All right. I want you to look at that. Romans 15. Verse 15:14. And the only reason I'm saying this is because when Paul talks about his ministry and him being the master builder, when he used terms like that, where it needs, like in Ephesians, he says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of God that was given to me for you," or Colossians, where he says that the dispensation that was given to me to fulfill the word of God. Well, he's got information that he knows that God wants those people. Yes, he wants them to have. So, 14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also, that ye also are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I," not we, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." And then he goes on to talk about the things that pertain to his ministry, how he wouldn't talk about anything other than his ministry. In other words, he's saying, "I'm writing to you because I'm God's man. And I'm praying that what I say to you, you will accept it." He says, "I'm praying that this would be accepted, acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Not acceptable to the Holy Ghost. He said, "This message has already been set apart by the Holy Ghost." He said, "I'm just praying that now that you would accept it." Mm-hmm. So when he's writing, Paul always has he's always aware that there's maybe some there who would challenge his authority. There may be some there who would question his authority. There may be some there who will reject his authority. And he's praying at all times for that you would accept his authority. Do you ever notice in all the verses he says, "I magnify my office"? He will always explain to them, like in Galatians, he says, "This gospel that I received was not after man, neither by man. I was given it by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He has to let them know, "I'm God's man. And I have the message from God for you. This is what he wants you to know."
He makes it clear.
I think he does. It doesn't seem like it because of the mass is, but he tries really hard to make it clear, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He said, that's why the salutation, he'll grace, he'll, first thing, Paul, of and God the Father. And he'll, every time. He said, I'm not just some guy off the street.
Well, I think he's also having to combat a mindset that for however many, was it 1,000 years, that had heard Moses, Moses, Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, you look at people today and they hate Paul, but nobody questions what thus saith Moses.
Yeah.
You know.
Or Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a finer line. But the reason I just went back there, because when he's writing to the Corinthians, he has all this corrective information to get them back on track so they could be the assembly and function the way God wanted them to function, because it's God's purpose that they're fulfilling. That's the big picture. It's God's purpose. One of those ours. Where they, and if you don't know, Paul knows, and he has to remind them. He said, "You're playing a big part in this. You can play a big part in this." And tongues is for a purpose in God's plan. And you're embracing it like it's the end all. He says, but as a matter of fact, it's the very least of all the gifts that God is using. Look at verse, back to Corinthians. Chapter 12. Just one flip back, one page. Well, one page for me. In verse 4, when he talks about their diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And verse 11, he says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All those gifts, he says, but they all work together. Mm-hmm. It's God's purpose. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set, the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So the gifts they had, who's behind it?
God.
Why?
He's got a purpose.
For all of them to work together.
For all of them to work together to do what?
His will.
His will. As it has pleased him. And Paul has to, he's writing, he has to remind them, you're just on the program. You're not the program, you're on the program. That's where we think that today. You turn on the TV shows, we're the program. No, God don't want you sick. He don't want you poor. He wants you rich. He wants you living in abundance. He wants you to have the best things. Well, wait a minute. Where does God fit in this? He's everything's for me. I'd use the example. I like to, one of the places that I go to at Sunday school, there are Navy guys in there. And I said, when you join the Navy, they make a lot of promises to you. What the Navy can do for you. The Navy can do this. But really? Really?
You are sequestered for service.
When you...
That's what
what's that?
What you can, it's about what you can do for us or the country.
That's, when you get in, you know what? Everything that they get is a side benefit. Because the Navy, when they hire you, they hire you for them.
For their purpose.
Say, Blake, take that red shirt off. Take those blue jeans off. Take those shoes off.
Shave that face.
Here's, here you are. You now you wear this all the time.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning and make your bed and everything.
They tell you, they own you. Well, wait a minute. Hey, I like my red shirt.
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, you don't. That's right. You will like the shirt we tell you to like. But you know what? But God in His grace, He's purchased us. He's purchased the Corinthians. And yet, they still don't realize they're not on board with Him. And in believers today, they don't realize what God's doing. They're not on board with Him. They're not laboring with Him. Oh, they have all the activity. They meet every week, twice a week, three times a week, some more. They pack the place out. They sing loud. They pray. They give. But God's not in it. He's not in it. He said, why do you say that? Number one, because they don't recognize God's man. You can't be laboring with God if you're not following God's instructions. And we'll find that out with these tongues. He says, verse 20, we pick it back at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. I like that too. You know what? They were abusing the gifts. They were abusing each other. And he says, brethren, brethren. That tells you one thing, that they're what?
Believers.
They're believers. He says, be not children in understanding. Understanding what?
The word, or the plan and purpose.
The plan, the purpose. In this case, the gifts. He says, be not children in understanding. Be what? But, he says, howbeit in malice be ye children. Now, if you want to lack some understanding,
14:20. Okay.
If you want to lack understanding, he says, lack it in malice, in your evil intent toward the brethren.
Be naive and innocent in that department.
Right. Be harmless as...
Wise as
serpents,
harmless
as doves. You know, and believers with ill intent for other believers in the same assembly that they should be working together? No.
No.
That wouldn't happen.
Look at the outbreak we've had of pastors having affairs with members of their congregation. It seems like every week there's somebody in the news. You know, it's like, I shake my head about this.
You know what? If it's the flesh, the only thing that keeps us, I'm saying us, in this assembly, any assembly, the only thing that will keep you grounded is the way you yield to God's word. Next week it's me. Last week it's him. Next week it's me. Next week it's you. If you don't embrace this,
you stay embracing.
Just
continue embracing.
You can't say what you won't do.
Sure.
It just any given battle you can lose.
You step away from the war.
It's like a heavyweight fight. You know, you where the guy goes in, he may think he may be the underdog. But if you let your guard down for one round, all he has to do is hit you with one good one. Ask Ronda Rousey. She knows. It's, you have to always be on guard. And I wrote a little thing in my book here. It was, pride is like a boiling pot. It must be monitored at all times. And the old man is like that. You have to watch the old man all the time. The old woman. All he needs is that's it.
The camel's nose on the
tip. Just
get under discipline.
That's all he needs. And in the Corinthians, that's where they were carnal. That's just like they were embracing the old man And yet they had the gifts. So they can use those gifts, and they use it in a malicious way. Not to build up the body, but it was tearing down the body and its function. And he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, it looks like he just changes thoughts, doesn't it? It looks like he just changes the subject and picks up a quotation from Isaiah, but it's very fluent and cohesive to his argument, because their understanding as children, they didn't understand God's scope, the plan, or why they had those gifts and how they fit and where they were in his program and what time. So he says, in the law is written. It's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, I want to ask a question. I want you to think about it first. What is the purpose of tongues?
Translation.
Edification.
Communication.
I heard somebody say separation. Did somebody say separation? Anything else? I said think about it for a minute. Pow, 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 pow.
It was a miracle.
It was a sign.
A sign, okay.
Signification.
Okay. Translation. Okay. Edification, communication, separation. It was a sign or a miracle. That's it.
Speaking in order for others to learn.
Let's see.
What's edification and translation?
Speaking.
Well, yeah.
Communication. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much.
Diversity.
Excuse me.
Sharing, you're getting the word out, because they're at the forts, right, where everybody speaks different languages, and so the whole purpose of tongues was to reach outreach.
Like evangelization. Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
We got it. Okay.
What they were doing for it that shouldn't be in that list is for attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's on the bottom. Right. Attention. Okay.
That was a misuse. You said what was tongues for?
That's sometimes it's good. You know what? To get the opposite of a thing, so you can expound on the purpose of a thing. So, but that's what a negative. Okay.
Do we give you enough to work with there?
Sure. That's the reason I put those down there was because, just like the Corinthians, is they were equipped with this gift, with these gifts. They focused on that gift, and Paul had to come back and explain to him, and he says, hey,
what it was used for.
It's in the law. He says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people, will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that, he says, and yet for all that, to I will speak unto this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me. With men of other tongues will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord.
So the other tongues, they had a purpose, but in the law, they didn't get it either.
Now watch this. Wherefore, for this cause, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Now, remember last week we were talking about, I said, we talk about tongues, but I said, I think we couldn't see the purpose of tongues because we defend against it so much. You know, we always, the first thing, like baptism and tongues, we'll be quick to tell them that tongues were
necessary.
We don't write. So we'll spend our time proving that it was under a different dispensation, but
without getting what it was for.
Well, not without getting what it was for. So we just listed all that. Now, turn to, I'm going to erase this.
Teaching and proclamation.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it up there.
I have one question about tongues.
Okay.
Back when, just like non-believers from different, you know, just all different, you know, languages gathered in one area and tongues was spoke.
Okay.
Everybody understood it, right? Non-believers and believers, right?
So?
Well, I'm just saying, so, like, whenever that they were all believers, all in Corinth, if everybody believed and everybody spoke the same language, if someone spoke in tongues, it's pointless, I know that, but it's like, I'm just curious, did everybody just understand what he was saying?
Nobody did.
So he just turned into gibberish.
That's what it was. That's why Paul said, look at verse, he says, verse 9, 14, 9. He says, so likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. He says in verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Okay. 13, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 19, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet, in the church, in the believers, when I'm with the believers, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
Tongues were not for believers.
You know what? Aaron dropped this little meatball in here since we're over here. He says, I had rather speak five words for your spiritual life than 10,000 words in a what? You know what they say? Well, I'm speaking to God. I'm giving thanks to God. He says, I'd rather speak five words for you than 10,000 words that you don't understand and ask to him. That's honor. Isn't that what they do today?
Yeah.
They say, I'm praying to God. I'm edifying myself. He says, well, that's great. He says, but I'd rather speak 5 words that'll benefit you than 10,000 words praising God. Yeah. So they say.
I guess at one time I thought like tongues was just like, I guess when they started speaking it, that everybody understood it. So no matter when you spoke in tongues, everybody understood it, no matter.
No.
You know, just like ultimate translation.
No, that's why he said, if you do that, pray also that you may interpret.
Yeah.
Because nobody understood him. Because the gift was not given to operate in the church.
Yeah.
It was for a sign to them that believe not.
As opposed to those in early Acts where they're teaching the crowds. And then everybody is hearing them in their own tongue.
Right.
That's why I was just thinking of, just like you're in open assembly and everybody understands it. But if you take it to your local church and start doing it, then, you know, I know it's pointless there, but I didn't
right.
know it was like just, I guess, gibberish.
Now this is where we're going to finish up with this. This is what I was telling you about. I'm going to erase this. Turn to, Jenny said it. Jenny said something when she was talking. It's a little too hard there. What's that?
Is it hard for notes?
Okay, I wrote some passages up there. We're going to try to look at these passages. Genesis 10, first. Genesis 11. Deuteronomy 28. Isaiah 28. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses. We'll try to get through those. Okay, first one. Genesis 10. All right. Got it? Chapter, let's see. This is after, I need to mark this so I won't lose my page. This is after what? After the flood. Verse, he says now, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Ripeth, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elishas, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one
after his
what? Okay. After the flood, God did what? Scattered the people by what?
By their tongues.
By their tongues. Okay. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language, 11:1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and the whole earth was of one
tongue.
One tongue. Thank you, sir. one tongue, one language, and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a tower, a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all
one language,
one tongue. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there, or thence, upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from this or there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. So you have here, you have what?
Babel.
Babel. And he scatters what?
He confounds the language.
He confounds their language.
Scatter.
Or their tongues. Okay. Deuteronomy. We'll find out after a while. This will make sense. Deuteronomy 28. Let's see. 28.
Let's
see. Let's pick up at verse 46 for time. "And they shall be upon thee," this is the commandments, they were supposed to keep the commandments, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." Who is he?
The Assyrian.
Who?
Man?
Let me go back and read it. That's why I stopped, because I want you to stay with me. He says, if God's laying down the curses and the blessing in this chapter. And so he says, if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't do these things, I'll curse you and I'll scatter you among all nations. So when he's talking about this, he says, 48, "Therefore thou shalt, because you serve me not." Because, for 47, "because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he," the enemy, "shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young." And he goes on to talk about how he will destroy that nation. But he says in Deuteronomy 28, he says, "I'm going to what?" They're in the land. Well, they're on their way out of the land.
Yeah.
But he says, "But and how I'm going to get you is what? With a nation whose what? Whose tongue you won't understand. Okay? Isaiah 28. That's the
fierce countenance, the guy of fierce countenance of Daniel. He's the leader of the nation of fierce countenance.
Okay.
Is that?
Oh, no, that's not the same guy, but okay. But it's the principle is the same. Yes.
Because the curses are progressive.
Exactly. Now, sometimes you read verses. You know what? That's a good point. Sometimes you read verses, and they have a double application.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he'll be quoting something that happened historically, and yet he's applying it to something that's happening to you today. Mm-hmm. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, it's written in the law. Well, this is the verse he's quoting in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. He said, it's written in the law. Look, and with men of other tongues shall I speak unto this people. Well, in Isaiah, he's talking to the Jews. That's not the Corinthians. Why is Paul quoting Isaiah to the Corinthians? Because it applies. Because it?
Parallel application.
It's a parallel application. He's the lesson is there.
Principle.
If you will hear it.
With the Old Testament concealed, New Testament revealed? Like that didn't probably apply there.
No, because that's what Paul is saying. He just uses a verse because the application applies to this. Yeah, it's not prophecy being fulfilled. He's saying just like this happened.
You're doing it too.
You're doing it right now. Isaiah, he says, 7, verse 7. But they also have erred. This is the Jews. Through strong wine and drink, they are they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they
would not hear.
God is—he's again talking to the nation in the land, and he says, "I'm going to get you for your disobedience. I tried to teach you, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You would not listen." He says, "I'm going to send a nation, what? Stammering lips and." What?
Another tongue.
What are they going to do? Praise you? Speak well of you?
No.
What are they going to do?
Cut your head off.
He said this in verse 12. He said, this is the rest where you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. He could not give him the rest because they rejected his counsel. And he says, verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. This is right before, guess where they end up? To Assyria and Babylon. He says, so is that good or bad? Okay. Acts 2, then we'll stop at that one. We won't go to the other ones. We're running out of time. Acts 2. So, and you know this one. You can almost, in the day. This is the day of Pentecost, right? Day of Pentecost. He says, and the Jews were Jews from every nation, devout Jews from every nation under heaven were gathered at the feast of Pentecost. And he lists those people, and they were speaking in tongues. He says, Cretes, Arabians, all these nations. He says, verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues. What? We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's where we stop most of the time. But he says this, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. That's what I want. Now, when you look back up here, what does all those passages have in common?
Tongues.
Tongues, yes. What else?
Well,
she's trying to. Judgment, yes. Judgment on who? Well, except for in that. But every time God uses tongues, he's passing judgment on the people. And when Paul quotes Isaiah, he wants the Corinthians to know. The very reason that you have the tongues, and he says it in the next verse, he says, for it is written in the law, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people, and for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. The Corinthians were in God's program. He was using them. Remember, the church was, the synagogue was where? Or in Corinth?
Yeah.
Well, what was next to the synagogue?
Church.
Justice's house, right? And what was happening in Justice's house? What else? What? They were speaking in tongues. For who?
For the benefit of the Jews.
The benefit?
Well,
to show them what?
That the Lord had left.
The Lord
left them and was now doing work among
the judge. You know what? The judgment was what? It's being executed. He left you. He's over here. He said, this is the sign. They can look over there and say, oh my goodness. That's why do you think Justice left the synagogue? He heard it. He saw. He you know what? When he heard that message, he responded. Now he's over there, and it's no secret. It's no wonder that the Corinthian church has these gifts, and the tongues were the one that was functioning the most. But that's the one they abused. They didn't realize the purpose of it. He says, "Not in here, where we're edifying each other. We don't need it. You need it out here, where they come in contact with you." And
the purpose by using it in, yeah, you're hoarding it all in here, and that's not what it's for.
That's not what it's for. He said the very purpose of it is to show the Jews that I'm executing judgment on them. My new vehicle of service is you, not them.
So that's why when Cornelius started speaking, those believers with Peter were all astonished.
They were in, and he had to go, Peter had to go back, and they said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Wait a minute." He says, "God told me to go up." He said, "Who was I that I can withstand God? He's the one doing this, not me. I didn't want to go. As a matter of fact." You know what? God says, "I'm getting you." After the flood, that's judgment. Tower of Babel, that's judgment. Deuteronomy 28, he said, that's judgment. Isaiah, that's judgment. Acts, that's the beginning of the church. That's what we say. That's God saying, come in here, you Jews. This is your time to respond before that great and notable day of the Lord. Before the judgment. Acts 10, well, guess what God is already doing at Acts 10?
Paul.
You know what? And Paul, the only thing he didn't know is how long his, that's why Peter can write, when Peter writes, he says, and think not it's slack. Think that this is not slackness. He said, but it's long suffering, God not willing that any should perish, but all that come to repentance. He said, even as our beloved brother Paul has written unto you, as in all his epistles, speaking of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood by they who are unstable and unlearned. They rested. He said, what about the judgment? But this is grace. He said, that's why it's going on so long. And that's, we know that.
But their judgment, could you say, is that God introduced grace. He interrupted their timeline. So it's kind of a judgment in itself.
Judgment on the nation.
It is. Exactly. And the good thing about it, though, for the Jews, is he's going to go back and pick it up. Mm-hmm. We think about how gracious is God, where in that time period, he allows them individually to come in. Isn't that something? Where they say, well, when he stood up in Acts 7, that's judgment. Paul said, wait. Got a secret. He's got a secret. And we've been living in that secret for over 2,000 years.
Sad thing is, for most people, it's still a secret.
It's still a secret. Yeah. So, you know what? That's why Paul quotes the verse where the judgment was, it was there. It was ripe. It was time. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And one of the reasons why we don't speak in tongues now is because it's been established. We already know we live in the dispensation of grace. The grace gospel is already complete. We preach a full grace gospel. We know that. We're not proving anything to the Jews now. We're living in a full-blown dispensation of grace. So, say it again. It's not a time of judgment. So people speaking in tongues, they don't know, they don't have any idea how far out of place they are. Mm-hmm. God, he used it for a purpose, for a time. That time has come, that purpose has come and gone. The revelation is full. We live in the dispensation of grace. And that's why Paul says, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you. He says, you're in it. This is it. And like you said, it's, we hadn't heard. That's why we're speaking in tongues. That's. Do you see how useless it is? That's what Paul, when he says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, he says, once, as he's getting the revelation, guess what's going on as he's getting the revelation? The time. The time is still going on. He's getting this revelation. And when he finally gets to Acts 28, where the judgment, when he's at the 28, he says, all the Jews, he says, come on, come on, come in here. All you Jews, come in here. All you leaders. And he says, we don't know, I'm paraphrasing this, he said, we don't know who you are. He says, all we know is that everywhere this sect is evil spoken of. In Rome. Look. He starts down here. Nobody's over there yet. He said, when he gets there and he calls them and it says, they don't have email. They don't have a telephone, Skype, Facebook, Twitter,
no
Instagram.
They had telegossip.
Right. But when he gets over there, they already know that we heard about you. And he says, well, it was necessary that the word of God be first spoken to you. No tongues. He said, but seeing that you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. End of story. No more miraculous events. No more tongues. No more prophecy. No more knowledge.
No more signs.
No more signs. Because God is through with those people for good. Strike one. Two, three.
And what